We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Young Tony Gill, let's go.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
I see people trying to take Iowa at 50-1 to win the Big Ten title, not talking about March Madness. Just stop with the Iowa stuff. I can't take it. You were talking about Fran McCaffrey. That team is the luckiest team in college basketball.
That game at Rutgers.
The Wieskamp and the Northwestern game when they came back from 15 down. Indiana, they get so many calls. So many calls. I hate Iowa. I hate Iowa. I hate Fran McCaffrey. The Hawkeyes, I hope, somehow lose to Illinois, lose to the Fighting Illini, or Northwestern.
Make me a bicycle clown.
Young Eli was not holding back his opinions on the Big Ten tournament underway over at the United Center. He's got some for Fran McCaffrey and his Iowa Hawkeyes. I'll tell you that much. By the way, Eli is going to be anchoring our Selection Sunday coverage here on The Score around 7:30 or so on Sunday night, and it's going to be phenomenal. That's what you're going to get. You're going to get a guy not holding back, ready to take Fran McCaffrey out to the woodshed. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm here with you until Illini basketball tonight. Perhaps Eli will get his wish, because one of those teams has got to advance. Illinois is playing Northwestern. We will have that game for you right here at 7:30. I know someone who went to Iowa. Big Ann Heron. He went to Iowa. Started Iowa. Then went on.
Yeah. Have some beef.
It could be a problem. It could be a problem. I would tell Eli to run. Because even at this point, Big Ant could probably catch him. Plus, he's at practice chasing Bishop around. I'm sure Eli's not more elusive than him. Anthony Heron is one of our football experts here at The Score. He also is one of the hosts of the pre- and post-game show over at Fox 32. He also works for Pac-12 Network. He also does a radio show with our buddy Jason Goff on Sirius XM Big Ten, Channel 372. You see him sometimes on NBC. He has 100 jobs, but he's nice enough to come visit and talk football with us here on The Score. What's up, sir?
Good grief, Eli. Saw my Hawkeyes out, man. What was Eli doing? He hates Iowa? How do you hate Iowa? I am Iowa. Let's go with that. I am Iowa. Use that at the drop.
it was, you know, Eli, he's kind of a mild-mannered dude. And right. When the topic of Iowa came up, he just went in. I was so proud. I was so proud of him because he really didn't hold back. The old school, is that how you really feel? That's how he really felt.
Right. I'll say this. I get where, you know, especially throughout Fran McCaffrey's run at Iowa, he's had his fair share of technical fouls, and he had a moment when Iowa was getting blown out by Ohio State. He had a moment in the tunnel with the officials from that game where both Fran McCaffrey and his son Connor picked up technical fouls during the game. Fran went after some officials in the tunnel, got really flagrant with them verbally, and ended up getting suspended for two games because of it. And Fran had actually, since the time early in his Hawkeye career where he brought all this intensity and machismo to the sidelines for Iowa, in recent years, he actually kind of, you know, cleaned that up a little bit where he still had the fire out there, but you didn't see Fran picking up technicals and doing some of the silly things that were kind of overly emotional that were, you know, something he was known for early in his career coaching at Iowa. He kind of, you know, improved in a lot of ways with that. But he had a really bad moment against Ohio State. He and Gary Barta, Iowa's athletic director, when they announced his suspension, they both said, yeah, this was not a good look for Fran. He's going to sit the next two games out. He gets suspended. He also got fined by the Big Ten. The university got fined by the Big Ten. Fran ended up paying that fine. And so, I mean, it wasn't a good moment, but he's done what he can to try to clean his act up a little bit. And Iowa overall, though, hasn't been playing well the last few games going into the Big Ten tournament. So whoever comes out of it, I'll be surprised if Northwestern, with the limited enforcements that they have available, Vic Law's not expected to play tonight because of a laceration he's got in his leg. So it's going to be tough for Northwestern to beat Illinois. The Illini just have a lot of firepower, and they play with a lot of pace. But whoever comes out of it, Iowa hadn't been playing well. I anticipate Illinois to win the game tonight, and then that's going to be a difficult matchup for Iowa tomorrow. But what the Hawkeyes do have, though, is they've got a lot of depth. And offensively, with Fran on the sidelines, they've been fine. It's been defensively, regardless of who it's been. Whichever one of the assistant coaches filled in for Fran McCaffrey while he was out, and certainly, you know, when Fran's been there, Iowa's been struggling mightily defensively. There's been stretches this season where they played better on that end of the court.
You know what? All right, that's enough. You know, that is enough, Anthony Aaron. We have heard quite enough from the Iowa Defense Foundation that's going on over here. Jeez. But what it does show you is that that man does know and love his Iowa Hawkeyes. This hour is being brought to you by the Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. I did not bring
you. Called me?
No, I did not bring you all here to talk about Iowa buckets. Although now that I know this, when the tournament continues, now I know I've got an Iowa guy. If I want to talk a little bit about what's going on with the Bucks, I wanted to talk NFL with you. So I'll give you
That's
the choice.
Do
you want to talk Bears first or the league first?
Ooh, let's talk the league first. The league's been fun. You know, the Bears haven't been as much. Bears have been interesting, not as much fun. Let's talk the league first.
Okay, I would love to know what your reaction was last night when you heard the Odell Beckham trade.
It was okay. I'm not going to bet yet. That was the initial thing. Well, okay. Well, actually, so it was Le'Veon Bell was the one that was latest. That was initially my head was when Le'Veon Bell came on late at night when that happened. When OBJ happened, that one, for whatever reason, it didn't surprise me as much as it does some folks, just because to me, if Eli Manning is still your starting quarterback and you're claiming you're trying to win games like the Giants have the last few years, then to me, you obviously don't manage yourself properly. So it didn't necessarily surprise me, regardless of what the organization's been saying here as of late, that they decided, yeah, we're finally going to find a way to move on from Odell Beckham, our most talented, well, one of our two most talented players, one of the two most gifted players on our team. We're going to move on from him because, you know, he's just really annoying in-house and we don't like his antics on game day. Whatever the case is, there's not any new information that's come about over the last few months since the Giants have been claiming that they weren't going to move on from Odell Beckham Jr. And they decided that they were finally going to do it. They made the trade. And things from a Cleveland Browns standpoint are looking nice right now with all the talent they've been able to accumulate. So, I mean, the Giants, they get some draft picks out of it. They get Jabril Pepper, the talented young defender who, you know, can play at multiple levels. But overall, when I saw the Odell Beckham news, for whatever reason, it didn't surprise me because I just feel like the Giants don't know what direction they want to go. And if they figure it out, they really don't know how they want to get there. It just seems like a rudderless ship at this point that's just sort of coasting and drifting and very uncertain about what makes the most sense for the direction of their franchise right now.
I don't understand why they're so entrenched with the idea of Eli Manning. Like, it doesn't make sense to me. Like, there is, and look, they'll have a chance at the draft to try and find his successor, but they've done a terrible job of being prepared for when Eli's bad. And the thing is, Eli's been bad for 3 years. How does that happen?
Yeah, the Eli thing is that, and, you know, seems like a really good dude, but I don't get why even Giants fans, let alone the organization, but Giants fans got so angry when Eli got benched a couple of years back. He was bad. He was playing. He wasn't a starting caliber NFL quarterback anymore and hasn't been for a couple of seasons at this point. But I know there's a lot of other issues offensively. The offensive line is one of the worst in the NFC. There's no doubt about that. But you can't tell me you're watching Eli Manning play quarterback and think this is the guy who's going to lead your franchise into the future. But he's gotten that city 2 Super Bowls. The Giants fans love him for it, even though he has never in the regular season performed like a Hall of Fame quarterback. But those 2 Super Bowls, sounds like they're likely to get him into the Hall of Fame at some point. But I don't get where the love affair at this point in his career, though, because normally organizations are pushing out older quarterbacks before they're ready. Fan bases are pushing out older quarterbacks before they get ready, even when they're starting to still play some level of quality football. It's kind of the opposite. with Eli. He's got a pseudo Benjamin Button thing happening with Giants fans. They're like, you know what? We know you weren't good early. We know you're not good now. There was a couple of years there in the middle when Odell Beckham first got there where you really played some stellar football. But for whatever reason, we are in love with you being our starting quarterback, regardless of the fact that you are playing atrocious football virtually every time you step onto the gridiron. They are still connecting themselves to Eli at this very deep and emotional level that they need to move on from if the organization is ever going to be able to move forward.
Okay. Let's talk about the Cleveland deal and them getting Beckham and what this does for them. I look at all the offensive firepower that they have, and I wouldn't say that I'm 100% convinced that Baker Mayfield is ready to go and is a star, but they definitely have done everything they could to ensure that he will have success, even if he isn't.
Yeah, that's a franchise that was set up very well to be able to revamp things, you know, around a young quarterback. And you know, I saw an article earlier today where it's kind of like, you know, the Philadelphia 76ers, and they're taking that same process in Cleveland, and now they moved on from Sashi Brown when he was the one who kind of did all the dirty work, the grunt work, and now you got the new regime, man. It's like, hey, these guys are geniuses. Look at all the talent they're accumulating. Well, they had a boatload of draft picks waiting on them and a bunch of cap space because they lost year after year and didn't accumulate any talent before. And now you've got this embarrassment of riches waiting on you to be able to accumulate said talent. So it's kind of like the organization itself didn't trust the process with the person who's putting the process in place. And now here sits the Cleveland Browns being able to sign all this talent, being able to trade for all this talent, and being able to constantly draft a wide variety of players very early in the NFL draft. And so even guys who we're not certain about yet, you just have this accumulation of parts, of particles that are coming together chemically in a team that's looking like one of the most exciting teams in the AFC North going into this season. But when it comes down to it, it will certainly come back to the personality himself, Baker Mayfield. Whether or not, and you and I have talked about this before, the talent to me was never a question. I didn't have big issues with Baker Mayfield's height. I had some concerns about the system he came out of, the amount of wide open receivers he was throwing to, similar to the concerns I have about Kyler Murray for this season. But overall, his gifted nature as a passer to me was never a concern. It was about his maturity. And we saw the maturity continue to be an issue during the season last year. I believe we'll continue to see maturity be an issue, but it'll come down to whether or not he's actually able to kind of hold his attitude together long enough to win games. But you add OBJ into the mix, and it's going to be a saucy huddle. I'll say that. You know, when they make plays, it's going to look great and it's going to look fun. But when they're not making plays and when things start to go bad, at a certain point, they go bad for everyone. When it does, are there going to be enough mature people? Are there going to be enough adults in the huddle and adults in the locker room for Cleveland to say that they're going to hold that thing together when there are struggles and when things go bad? But they've accumulated a lot of talent. And I agree, because Baker Mayfield, he's, you know, it's one thing for Cam Newton to be, you know, a bit immature at times, but he is just this otherworldly, physically gifted talent where, you know, you kind of exist in Cam Newton's world and in that space, even when he's kind of acting like an infant at certain times. Baker Mayfield isn't that gifted, you know, so that to me is still a concern I have with him, because you got a young team that hasn't been through any real battles together before. And now, at defense, we're going to be looking at the offense like, hey, we've been trying to hold some things together here. You guys are supposedly ready to roll. But I see a lot of different scenarios that could call for some infighting in Cleveland.
I would imagine that having Jarvis Landry there does help mitigate that a little bit.
In theory, sure. But, when, you know, there's going to be a lot of media buzz around the Cleveland Browns. And, you know, it's one thing to have Hard Knocks there going into last season, and you kind of have the preseason portion of things where folks are paying closer attention. Really, after that, the main way that Cleveland started making news last season, even after they started winning some games, was virtually about Baker Mayfield getting in social media spats with people and getting in press conference spats with his former head coach. So it's kind of like these self-inflicted things brought upon themselves. So, you know, Jarvis Landry or not, I mean, he's obviously been he's been the dude in the locker room that's been able to try to hold things together, and that's kind of been his role throughout his career. But you're adding a lot of new personality into the mix there. Him and OBJ may get along great, but the last time they were teammates, Jarvis Landry was kind of the dude, and OBJ was kind of the 1A sort of thing. And now OBJ is one of the most known faces in the National Football League. So I don't think little brother is just going to kind of play little brother to big brother anymore like he used to.
This segment is being brought to you by Fogo de Chão Brazilian Steakhouse. Bone-in cowboy ribeye is back at Fogo de Chão Brazilian Steakhouse in Chicago. Taste the richer flavor of our bone-in cuts from ribeye to beef ribs, all fire roasted and carved tableside. Reserve now in Chicago, Rosemont, and Naperville at Fogo.com. I'm talking with Anthony Heron. I love talking NFL with him. He's one of our smartest guys that we have available as an expert here on The Score. Le'Veon Bell, that signing with your former team, the Jets, what is that add, and did he play himself with the holdout?
Well, monetarily, he did, because it was just, you know, you had $14 million on the table last season. It's really virtually impossible to recoup that. Even the whole recoup discussion was a bit odd, because you went a year without making $14 million. So even if he signed a deal this season for $20 million going forward, that still would have just been an addition to the $14 that he passed on from last year. So recouping it, no, that wasn't going to happen anyway. But even just looking at the raw numbers of it, if a bigger deal were to take place, then he could at least still look at it and through this lens, that he got through last season without being hurt. Now, he did that without being on the field to play, but one of his main goals was that he didn't want to play on another one-year deal. He didn't want to go through another NFL season without long money. And the 3 years and $45 million that Pittsburgh had on the table from a couple of summers ago, that certainly would have been nice as well. He's still a guy, though, who by running back standards is not over the hill at this point. So the opportunity and the guarantees in there, over $30 million apparently guaranteed, the potential for this $13 million per year deal to turn into something where it's, you know, with incentives over $60 million, there's still plenty of money to be made by Le'Veon Bell. Then he goes into a Jet situation that's got some similar potential to what the Cleveland Browns are doing. You know, Anthony Barr ended up deciding he was going to go back to Minnesota after initially committing that he was going to go to the Jets. But they've got cap space, and they're starting to accumulate some talent, namely him amongst others, with Sam Darnold as a young quarterback going into his second season. So it could be a fun time for him in New York and what he can do with his music career that's apparently getting launched and all this other stuff. But financially, yes, he certainly doesn't have and won't have by the end of this deal the money in the bank now that he, in theory, could have if he would have played a healthy last season and done what he did and got that money in the bank if he stayed healthy. But that staying healthy thing for an NFL running back is a big if. So his thing was, I don't want to take that risk for a one-year deal anymore. I'm past that point in my life. So even though monetarily he's going to make out with less ends by the end of this four-year deal, he still bet on his health being there and being able to get to this point in free agency now. So he, you know, the decision he made was a calculated one.
Considering that he signed a 2-year deal worth $10 million, I'm shocked and leaning towards disappointed that the Bears didn't sign Tevin Coleman.
Yeah, I would have been really excited about Tevin Coleman in a Bears uniform. And, you know, Mike Davis is a talented guy. I don't necessarily have an issue with the Davis signing, but he's not Tevin Coleman. You know, now there's potential for it, and when he's got the ball in his hands, I like Mike Davis's running style. He's got a lot of shiftiness to him, and Pro Football Focus has him, you know, virtually being as shifty as far as missed tackles goes as Tariq Cohen. He's just not a guy who's had to carry much of the load. When he hasn't necessarily shown consistently that he's a guy who can do it at a really high level in limited opportunities to do that. But that being said, he does have some talent. He's just not Tevin Coleman. Now, Tevin Coleman has never had to be like a 20 to 25 carry a game sort of guy, but that's fine because you don't need that in this system. Tevin Coleman would have really excited me because he would have been sort of a souped up Tariq Cohen, a more sleek version of Jordan Howard. He would have been he is to me, as far as his style and his gifts, a really fluid combination of the two, where he's more bulky, more burly than Tariq Cohen, but he certainly has more receiving skills and more explosiveness in space than Jordan Howard, and that's what the Bears need. So you can make a similar case to that's sort of what Mike Davis is. He just hasn't been a guy who's actually done it at as high a level as Tevin Coleman. And that was my impression as well, that when they didn't get Tevin Coleman, when they didn't, you know, go heavy for Tevin Coleman, my assumption was that, all right, it's because the price tag was going to be too high. But apparently that's not the case. You know, like you mentioned, 2 years, 10 mil, 5 mil a year, essentially. Yeah, that's money the Bears could certainly afford. Certainly when you consider the fact that they restructured Khalil Mack and the funds would have been available for it. So for me personally, yes, I would have preferred Tevin Coleman over Mike Davis. But Mike Davis is a talented runner with the ball in his hands.
What do you think about them adding Patterson?
See, that one to me, that caught me off guard. I didn't know, you know, at the wide receiver, kick returner sort of position, and that's a direction they were going to find it important to go. And if they went there, I was thinking, you know, here's another mid to late round draft process sort of deal where the Bears are going to add some more depth there and maybe find someone who's going to come in and play some special teams for them and do that type of thing, especially with Bellamy being on his way out of town. So this to me, you know, the Bears are operating from a position of strength, and that's something we're not accustomed to here in recent years. With Ryan Pace dealing with this Bears roster, they've gotten to a point where they're fairly deep and talented at a lot of spots. Now, obviously, they lost two defensive backs from last season that they're going to need to figure out what's happening there in the secondary to make it work without Adrian Amos. But I think overall, for the Bears to be able to add Cordarrelle Patterson to a really deep and talented receiver core and a special teams return game, I mean, the kick return game has been an issue for the Bears, but it's not an issue that cost them games. It's just something where you haven't had a special return man there since Devin Hester. But I don't necessarily look at the Bears kick return game and say, all right, you know, that's something that needs to be addressed as much as place kicker. Place kicker from a special team standpoint is obviously the big black eye for Chicago. Kick return, this is sort of a luxury signing, if you ask me. And it's cool that the Bears are in a position where they can sign a player like Cordarrelle Patterson as a luxury to add to an already deep and gifted receiver position. And then now you've got Tariq Cohen returning punts, you've got Cordarrelle Patterson returning kicks. And so this Bears offense, it should take a big leap in year two. Now it's just going to get sort of this rocket boost from the special teams game, and field position should be a big advantage for Chicago this season.
Big Ant, I appreciate the time and the information. I look forward to doing this again soon.
Let's do it, friends. Thanks, man.
That's Anthony Heron, Iowa apologist. I want to talk some Bears and NFL free agency with you. I have a question for you. If you want to react to some of the things that Anthony had to say, 312-644-6767 is the number. I want to ask you a question about the Bears as it pertains to the rest of the league. We'll do that next here on The Score. A couple of Bears items to pass along your way on this Wednesday night. By the way, I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 7:30. It's official with the league year starting today. Cody Parkey is out. He's officially been cut. Your long nightmare is now over. Well, at least that portion of it. There could also still be bad kicking. The other piece of news that you might find interesting is that the Bears are sitting down with former Packer safety, HaHa Clinton Dix. And you could end up having two guys from Alabama back there. Roll Tide, Tony. Patrolling your defensive backfield. I think that it makes sense. But I also thought that it made sense for them to clear cap space by converting the Khalil Mack money to go and get Earl. But they didn't. And I thought it made sense for them to, especially like Herbie, now that we know that deal for Tevin Coleman is 2 years and $10 million. Because earlier in this process, you were hearing $30 million be thrown around for him. And I thought that they would be priced out. I'm with Big Ant. I felt like he was, like, he's the prototype for the guy that you want in between Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard. I guess he wasn't ready to join the Bears.
Maybe Ryan didn't ask him. Can we talk?
And
for a minute,
he had to settle for that $10 million, and nothing comes to dreamers but dreams. And $10 million instead of 30 or 40. 312-644-6767.
I guess Chicago will have to stay always in his heart.
Damn it! You won. I'm out. I got a question I want to ask you after I'm done talking with Mike in Rockford. Hey, Mike, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence. Good to talk to you. How you doing?
I'm doing well. What's on your mind?
Lawrence, I want to make a comment, then I want your answer to a question here. I you know, a huge Bear fan, and it always intrigues me to see what the teams do in their division. So I knew the Bears, obviously, they don't have the cap space. Coleman would have been great. I was thinking the same thing as you, but it didn't happen. And I was really excited about Cordell Patterson because I think I watched him last year in the playoffs. The guy's legs keep moving. He's a beast. I mean, they can use him. I mean, even he's a big enough guy, I think, they can, like, use him as a tight end in certain cases. But, you know, whatever you want to do, the guy's versatile, and I'm real excited they got him.
I appreciate that, and I want to let you ask your question. I just want to speak to this point because I've seen a little bit too much of this already on Twitter. If you're expecting big things from Cordero Patterson outside of the return game, I don't think you're going to get your wish. I think it's a really interesting move, and I think because of the creativity of Matt Nagy, he is going to be able to add a little bit of intrigue to what they do offensively. You're not going to line him up at tight end, but you may have him run the ball in a short yardage situation or in a jet sweep. Whatever. All I'm saying is that from what I've seen from some Bears fans, the expectation is already too high. I think we need to throttle down on the expectation for Cordero Patterson. Now, Mike, you said you had a question.
Yeah, my question is this. What's your opinion on losing Amos, and what is your view on what the Packers did? I heard someone said on the score, I think it was when it happened, this Turner guy, I forgot who the guest was, but he was on, what show was he on? It was yesterday. I think it was in the morning.
Mully and Haw? They're on every morning from 5 until 9.
Mully, no, it was
Bernstein and McKnight? They're on from 9 until 1.
Yeah, it was Bernstein and McKnight. They had a guest on, and he was saying he was not impressed with the Turner signing, that the guy's overrated as a guard. But I want your opinion, Lawrence, on how do you think the Packers made a huge splash, and what do you think they did on that?
I don't think it's a huge splash. Shout out to my guy, Lou Sacramondo. We were talking. I hadn't seen Lou in a little bit, and I went over to stadium this past week and worked over there. Thanks to everyone over there, by the way. I had a lot of fun. And thanks to my man, Michael Kim, for allowing me to sit in on his show. And he said, I want you to talk about whether or not Adrian Amos is just a guy. I don't think that he's just a guy, Lou. I think that he's better than that. The thing about Adrian Amos is that you can probably do better. And I think you can do a lot worse than him. I think he's a solid player that, considering where he's drafted, has already done well for himself. I wish him a lot of luck. And I felt bad for him, because he was the one that was made to look bad when they had 10 men on the field, because he's out there counting like, oh no, something's terribly wrong. And I think it was Sherrick McManus that was supposed to be out there on that play. It also is a little bit more complicated because I'm not sure that you got better at nickel with Buster Screen over Bryce Callahan. And there's a real possibility that you got worse. Just something to pay attention to. We'll see how it goes. I was surprised that to me, Buster Screen, as much as we love his name, is not someone that you jump crisscross to get when free agency opens. Like, think about it this way. If I came on the air and was like, stop the presses, breaking news, the Bears sign Buster Screen, and then I start clapping, you'd be like, it's maybe a little, you're doing too much, fam. Doing way too much. Okay, I promised you a question. I have a question for you, but we need to take a break before I ask it of you. But I do want to ask you the question because the thought occurred to me as I was driving around today, and I wanted to pick your brain on it. It has to do with the Bears, it has to do with the Giants, and it has to do with you. We'll do that next here on The Score.
you are hanging out. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I am here with you until Illini basketball. We've got Illinois versus Northwestern. That game will be at 7:30 here on The Score. The winner advances in the Big Ten tournament. And if Illinois wins, they'll be on The Score again tomorrow night. Right there in the night side of the bracket. So they would be on in place of me at some portion of the night. Anyway, so I got this thing. This morning I did some national stuff for Stadium. So I spent a lot of time talking about the Giants because the Odell Beckham trade and whatnot. And as I left this morning, I was wondering, and I wanted to pick your brain on this, and we talked a little bit about it, me, Herbie, and Tony, talked a little bit about it in the hallway before the show. Is your organization now on such solid ground that you can point and laugh at another organization? Like, have the Bears redeemed themselves to the point where you get to look over at what the Giants are doing and going, what are they doing? That is a poorly run franchise. That is a dumpster fire. That is terrible. Are the Bears organizationally there yet? Tony, you brought up an interesting point. You brought up the point that perhaps one could laugh, but there is a degree of laughter that Bears fans can have. Is that an accurate depiction of your point?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you can certainly laugh because it is funny what the Giants are doing to themselves. But just remember, just a couple seasons ago, you were that team. I remember specifically you on your show saying that the Bears are the NFC equivalent to the Browns.
They were NFC Cleveland. And look at what both franchises have seemingly turned things around. The Bears with a little bit more immediate success. But some people think that the Browns are set up to not just win now, but for a long time. They took a jump. I want to say they were 15-1 to win the Super Bowl. Then they made the trade for Odell Beckham, and now they're 7-1 to win the Super Bowl. If you're a betting type. I don't think I would make that bet at 7-1. 15-12-1, I would probably do it.
Not on the Browns. Get out of here. Well, you got to show me first.
Yes, Tony, you've hit on my argument. Herbie, have the Bears shown enough that a Bears fan can point their finger and laugh at the tire fire that is the New York Giants?
Absolutely not. They're 4 out of the last 5 years, they were in last place and a train wreck of a situation. Yeah, good job. You won a couple games last year. You got to the playoffs. But you're not out of the woods. We're not clear right now. It's not the Bears division to have next year. There's still, remember at the beginning of last year, everybody's talking about the Vikings being good, and that fell off the table quickly.
I go back to that when people talk about how the Bears are set up to be good, and I agree. That on paper, they are set up to be good. I go back to, if this conversation were happening this time last year, the two teams we would be talking about as Super Bowl contenders would be the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Minnesota Vikings off of what they had done the year before. It could definitely go backwards. Now, I tend to think that Bears fans feel like the organization is on solid ground right now. And I don't think that they're wrong. A person who says that to me, I don't think that they're necessarily wrong. It looks as if everything is kind of set up the way that they want it. The head coach is on the same page as the general manager. The general manager is on the same page as ownership. And that wasn't the case in the years previous to this. I just know that Bears fans have become a little bit puffy-chested. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with it. I felt like once you got to, what were they, 7-3 or whatever, that you should have been puffy-chested because you were going to the playoffs. So this is what I want to know. And you can text us at 670-11 or you can call us at 312-644-6767. Are the Bears as an organization
on solid enough ground that you laugh at other teams now in the NFL. That you laugh at the mess that is being made in Detroit every week. That you laugh at the Giants holding on to a terrible, terrible quarterback for no good reason other than nostalgia. Remember, you used to be like that. You used to be all about nostalgia. And now you're like, bleep nostalgia. Let's win. Years and years and years of the Bears being like a defensive like franchise, and they were a great defense last year. But you're all about the let's do the weird stuff. You want to line up Chase Daniel and make him a wide receiver? Do it. You want to have Oompa Loompas and Willy Wonkas and everything else? Yes. You want to let Ryan Pace trade third-round picks so he can move up one spot to get a quarterback who's not better than the other quarterbacks that are available? Roll the dice.
Texan made a good point.
What's that?
That dumpster fire beat the Bears.
That dumpster fire did beat the Bears. They sure did with that horrible quarterback. This texter says, nope, not yet. 708 texter says, can't laugh at the Giants. Look at what we traded a potential Hall of Fame tight end in Greg Olsen. Yeah, but that wasn't this regime. As I would say to my wife, you bringing up old bleep right now. 219. No, the Bears still want nostalgia bringing Robbie Gould back. Well, that's not happening. Do you think that they moved that money to get Gostkowski? Like, is that the move? Because I'm still trying to figure out, why did you move that money? Was it just to re-sign your guys? Like, I don't know. It seemed like there was something bigger that was going to happen, and maybe it just didn't. 815 Texas says, I've always laughed at the Lions no matter how bad the Bears are. Fair point. I mean, yeah. Hashtag Lionsy. We talk about it quite often on this show. This 719 Texas says, can't laugh yet. All other NFC North fans saying Bears will be next season's Jags, and they have to prove all these good moves have to be proven for a long-term success. I mean, they could be the Jags. It could definitely happen. Northside and Don. Hey, Don, you're on the score.
Hey, how you doing, man? Man, I don't know. How could you not laugh at the Giants, man, for trading away Odell Beckham for a peanut butter jelly sandwich, man? I mean, it's funny. You know, as far as the NFC North, yeah, nothing's granted for the Bears. But, you know, I think that, you know, this organization, you know, although it started off a little, if you know, they have proven that, you know, you could trust them a little bit. So, yeah, I think we can be humbly optimistic. But, you know, if I get a chance to throw it in somebody's face, I'm definitely is, because, you know, I don't want to be one of them teams that you don't know when you won because you're so used to losing, you know.
No,
so,
yeah, that's my take. Don, I appreciate you checking in. I really do. This segment is being brought to you by Fogo de Chão Brazilian Steakhouse. Bone-in cowboy ribeye is back at Fogo de Chão Brazilian Steakhouse in Chicago. Taste the richer flavor of our bone-in cuts from ribeye to beef ribs, all fire roasted and carved tableside. Reserve now in Chicago, Rosemont, and Naperville at Fogo.com. 63-year-old Texas says, I talked all kinds of bleep to Lions fan today. That was a client. I don't know if that's a great idea.
Even when the Lions were good, and I put those in quotes, I still talk smack to the Lions.
Yeah, but they did own the Bears for a while.
Yeah, that horrible quarterback they got.
For a while, they owned the Bears.
I think they won like four in a row until last year.
I think they won 6 out of 7 against the Bears until last year.
So I've won a playoff game since 91.
Lawrence, your tone always comes off as waiting for the other shoe to drop when it comes to the Bears. No, I just bring up things that you should know. That's all.
Look, I'm not all in on Mitch Trubisky. So this is a big
damn it,
year.
Tony.
I'm not
doing the Mitch Trubisky show.
I don't know.
I'm not doing that show on March 13th. I can't. I cannot. Don't do this to me. We then have to go through this. and then I'm the guy that hates Mitch.
I'm not saying he's going to be bad. That's why I'm saying you can laugh at the Giants.
It doesn't matter, Tony. It doesn't matter because no matter what you say, they're gonna call, they're going to text. It's going to be a thing. Can we at least, how about this? Can we at least not do the Is Mitch Trubisky Good show? At least until minicamp. OTAs, like, not now is what I'm saying. We can do it, just not. I just don't have it in me to do that stuff again for a little while. I need a break.
So that reference, you can laugh at the Giants, but again, it's like I said before the show. It's like you're in the cafeteria. Somebody's cracking on somebody really bad. You can laugh, but make sure you don't laugh too loud because it can always come back to you.
And here they come. And here the text messages come. Thanks a lot, jerk. I'm talking baseball next. I don't care what he says. Back after this on The Score. Oh, oh,
oh, O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.